WGBW Denmark, Green Bay's real news and great conversation, a civic media radio station.
ABC News, I'm Sherry Preston. 26-year-old Luigi Mangione now charged with second-degree murder in the killing of United Healthcare CEO Brian Thompson in Manhattan last week. Mangione was arrested at a McDonald's in Altoona, Pennsylvania on Monday. ABC's Josh Einiger, who's there, says police found
three sloppily written, handwritten pages in his backpack that law enforcement found. They referred specifically to United Healthcare and spoke about his disdain for the healthcare industry, including these specific quotes, quoting now, "These parasites had it coming."
Syria's prime minister says most cabinet members are back at work following the overthrow of President Bashar Assad's government. People have been gathering at the gates of the notorious Saidnaya prison in Damascus looking for loved ones. Israeli Prime Minister Benjamin Netanyahu on the stand in his long-running corruption trial in Tel Aviv. He's also facing an international arrest warrant for war crimes as the fighting in Gaza continues. This is ABC News. Gas prices continue their downward trend heading into the holidays.
After fairly weak Thanksgiving demand for gas, gasoline inventories being up and low oil prices, it's all resulted in gas prices going even lower. They're at lows not seen in many years, according to analysts. The Energy Department reports the average price of regular unleaded is sitting at $3.01 a gallon now. Some other gas price surveys have the average price below $3 a gallon. The Energy Department says the cheapest gas right now is along the Gulf Coast at $2.60 a gallon. Alex Stone, ABC News.
Mass evacuations underway in the central region of the Philippines following a brief but major volcanic eruption. The eruption did not cause any immediate casualties, but several flights in the country have now been canceled or diverted. Social media platform TikTok filing an emergency motion with the U.S. Court of Appeals to try to pause the law that would force the Chinese-based ByteDance, owner of it, to sell the app by January 19th or face a ban. Sherry Preston, ABC News.
I'm Lisa Hale with WGBW News. Your news roundup in quick podcast form. You can find it anywhere at the WGBW website, wgbw.fm.
The Maggie Dawn Show.
Jeffrey from Madison.
I worked for the city of Madison for 34 years. Act 10 cost me $42,000.
Yep.
In 1977, the state of Wisconsin passed a law that says public employees cannot strike. With Act 10, now we can't bargain for working conditions and benefits, so they basically turned public employees into second-class citizens.
Yes.
The Maggie Dawn Show. Weekdays from 2 till 4 on your local Civic Media radio station and on the Civic Media app.
The possibility of lung cancer can be pretty scary, especially if you're one of approximately 8 million current or former smokers at high risk. That's why SaveByTheScan.org wants you to know that now there's a breakthrough low-dose CT scan that can detect lung cancer early, and it only takes 60 seconds. You stop smoking, now start screening. For an easy quiz to see if you're eligible, visit SaveByTheScan.org. It could save your life. SaveByTheScan.org is brought to you by the American Lung Association's Lung Force Initiative and the Ad Council.
Dom Salvia.
Next time, we will go overtime with Maggie Dawn. Plus, guess which Republican candidate who claims to have never lost an election is a leading contender to become Trump's ambassador to Mexico. Tune in.
The Dom Salvia Show. Weekdays 4 till 6. This is your local Civic Media radio station. Want to hear even more? Anytime? Find all of it at civicmedia.us.
Mostly cloudy today, our high right around 32 this afternoon. Tonight, light snow after midnight, low of 22. Tomorrow, some light snow, blowing snow, becoming windy in the afternoon with falling temperatures. We'll be in the teens by late Wednesday afternoon. I'm meteorologist Sean Cable. Outside now, it's 35.
The holidays are here, and it's nearly time to pick a present from our grown-up gift list with our Civic Media statewide text-to-win contest. Listen while you work for the keywords to text for your chance to win $100 cash, an overnight vacation at Chula Vista Resort, and be entered to win one of our grand prizes, a robot vacuum, new luggage, humidifier, espresso machine, and more on our grown-up gift list at civicmedia.us. Just download the Civic Media app and listen weekdays at 7, 11, 1, and 4 for your chance to win in our statewide contest. Earl Ingram.
On the next show, Sandy Williams will be back in the studio to discuss the latest in politics and what's happening with the economy. Join us.
The Earl Ingram Show, weekday mornings at 9.
Zone.
Well, it's going to be a cooler day today across the state of Wisconsin. Welcome to it. It's a Tuesday. Fabulous Farm Babe Pam Yonke here. It's the Midwest Farm Report. We'll get weather details from Stu Mucker, ag meteorologist, in about 15 minutes. But suffice it to say that that mild weather we enjoyed over the weekend quickly coming to an end. It's going to get windy today. It looks like we're going to see some clouds. Daytime highs today no better than 32 degrees. And winds will be out of the northwest, gusting up to 10, maybe even 20 miles an hour. For tomorrow, good chance that we're going to see a little snow, probably in the morning, mostly cloudy through the day. Daytime highs probably not much better than 23 degrees. And again, the wind chill values are going to make it a blustery Wednesday. Thursday, sunshine, but only 13. Friday, another snow chance in the forecast. Like I said, Stu's on the way. So is John Heinberg, market advisor with Total Farm Marketing out of West Bend. Today we get another World Ag Supply Demand Report. And this one is a big one. John's going to give us a preview. They conducted 30 different business items yesterday during the Wisconsin Farm Bureau Federation's wrap-up of their annual business conference in the Dells. We'll give you kind of a quick synopsis on that as well. And do you want to know where your milk comes from? There's a code you can look for on your milk containers to know exactly what state your milk is coming from. Why do we bring that up? Well, because the U.S. Department of Agriculture is starting to test milk from the plant in an effort to learn more about H5N1. Where can you find the code? If you want to buy Wisconsin milk, I'm going to share that with you as well. End of the year savings and hot deals at all Bobcat Plus Wisconsin locations. All new in-stock Bobcat equipment and attachments are marked down and ready to get to work for you. Skid steers, mini excavators, compact tractors, snow removal equipment, and more. As always, full service and parts whenever you need it. End of the year savings and hot bargain Bobcat deals happening now at all Bobcat Plus Wisconsin locations. Visit a showroom in your area or bobcatplus.com. Bobcat, one tough animal.
Attention farmers and ranchers, the Can-Am Ag and Business Program wants to reward hardworking folks like you. Head to your local Can-Am dealer to find out how you can get extra coverage on top of a rebate of up to $1,500 on select Can-Am Defender and Outlander models. If you've had your eyes set on a Can-Am workhorse, now's the time to get your own. Visit your local Can-Am dealer to add a true game changer to your roster. Certain conditions apply. See dealer for details.
The holiday season is a reminder of how thankful I am to be able to sit down for a hot meal and be with my friends and family. It's a luxury that most of us have every day. But for Wisconsin's rural seniors who may be homebound, isolated, and unable to prepare their own food, the story is different. I'm Stephanie Hoff from the southern end of the world's longest barn in Madison, visiting with Rhonda James. She's the nutrition program director with the Aging and Disability Resource Center in central Wisconsin. They serve Langlade, Lincoln, Marathon, and Wood counties with the Meals on Wheels program. Just last year, their small team and countless volunteers delivered 145,000 meals to more than 1,300 residents. But just like the experience for most Wisconsin families, their costs have gone up during a time when the need for their program is growing. Rhonda explains.
So our program is funded by a couple of different revenue streams. So the Older Americans Act program is federal funding for the senior nutrition program. And we also receive a really small amount of Wisconsin funds from DHS. And then there's some county tax levy in our budget. And our customer contributions and community donations make up the rest of our budget. customer contributions for our program are around 27% of our total budget. So we are allowed to ask customers for a contribution. We suggest a contribution of $5 per meal. We all know that in today's world, with food prices increasing, as you just said, you cannot buy just a sandwich for $5 outside of your own kitchen. So it's a pretty reasonable, cost-effective amount that we ask for a nicely balanced meal that's ready to eat. We have seen about a 30% increase in our food costs. We contract with caterers to prepare the food that we have on our menus, and their costs have most certainly gone up, just like it is for you and I to go to the grocery store. The amount we suggest customers give us per meal served doesn't actually match the amount it costs us to purchase that food and serve it with all of our overhead costs.
Do you have a range of what it costs, maybe like per plate?
Right now, our contracted meal rates with our caterers, this is simply for the food and the food to be brought to each of our locations. It's anywhere from $6.50 to $7.75 a meal. That is for the food, preparation of the food, and delivery on site for us. We also have packaging costs, meal delivery costs, labor. And so that total comes to anywhere between $12 and $15 a meal when you consider all of our costs, all of our overhead.
And also our aging population in Wisconsin is also growing. Is that right? Like, are you seeing more need?
Absolutely. Most certainly between 2010 and 2020, the older adult population in Wisconsin increased significantly. And now that rate has slowed, but there is still an increase in, when we say older adults, we mean persons age 60 and older. That population percentage is still increasing. In our service area alone, so our four counties, this really is statewide information, about 30% of Wisconsin's population of older adults, so age 60 and older, 30% live within the 46 rural counties, the ones that are considered non-metropolitan. That's a pretty large percentage of rural older adults in Wisconsin.
What's the furthest that your volunteers would drive to deliver a meal?
You know, our volunteer routes sometimes creep upwards of 50 miles, 60 miles in total. So that's probably 30 miles from like a city center like Merrill or Antigo or Wisconsin Rapids. 30 miles in any, you know, direction within our area. And then we have a few paid delivery routes, paid staff, because Marathon County is the largest geographic state in Wisconsin. And so we really struggle to get to the far reaching parts of the county with volunteers alone. So those routes are probably anywhere from 80 to 100 miles a day.
Can you give me a sense of the demand rising?
Since the pandemic, our numbers of Meals on Wheels requests have increased. And, you know, the really big challenge that we face is accommodating all who need the service and are eligible, and balancing that with the very limited dollars we receive to fund this program. Our federal dollars that support senior nutrition program have not increased in a solid 10 years yet. We have bills that are a solid 30% more than they were just a few years ago. So we are facing a reality of increasing costs, increasing demand from a growing older adult population with a stagnant budget. So that's really taking a toll on our senior nutrition program, especially starting in 2025 when we don't have the ARPA grant dollars that we have had these last few years to help us pull through.
But I did want to hear from you, though, about the how much you rely on volunteers.
We will never say no to a volunteer. How's that? We could never offer our senior nutrition program without volunteers. It's that simple. We don't have the budget to do this with all paid staff. Far from it. We have about 350 volunteers, throughout our region that help with everything from packaging the meals on wheels and cleaning up the kitchen to delivering the meals to senior homes or serving the meals at a senior dining location. And even, you know, a few people who say, really, those aren't the things I want to do, but I want to help and I want to volunteer for this program. So we do have a few folks who come into our office and do some administrative support. It seems that the greatest need is volunteers who are able to and willing to deliver meals to seniors' homes. We just never seem to have an overabundance and could always use just one more person to help.
One of these people is Tony Amernick, who delivers meals with his wife in Marathon County. They've been volunteering for almost 5 years to make sure that the seniors in their community not only get the nutrition they need, but that daily interaction and wellness check. Tony says the work is simpler than he first thought and even more rewarding.
I one day asked if I could go for a ride along to get an idea of what it entailed or what it was like. And I found out that, oh my gosh, it was such a simple thing to do. And yet it was such an incredibly meaningful thing that makes such a difference in the lives of the people that are being provided the meals. It's about an hour and a half of our day to do this. And we go to the ADRC, pick up the food containers with all the meals packed individually for the different persons getting the meals. And then they have the list of the people and their addresses all lined up so that, you know, one follows the other and so forth, so it's most efficient. And then we just go house to house and drop off the meals for the people, extend a friendly smile, you know, a little conversation, wish them well, and they always say thank you. People are extremely grateful.
And Tony, when you and I were talking before, you said that the reason the program was on your radar is because you've had family benefit from the program in rural areas of Wisconsin. Is that right?
When you think back, the people that are now homebound elderly receiving the meals, at one time, they were the people in our communities that were raising families, building our communities. They were the helpers. So now they actually need some help and support so they can continue to live independently in their own homes the way we all probably want to do. The thing about my family members, yes, I recall my mother getting the meals and appreciative as she was for the hot meals and, you know, the good food and everything that was provided. She really loved people and social connections with people. And I honestly believe, she, you know, and she talked about this, how she looked so forward to the drivers dropping off the meals each day and so forth, just because of that social connection.
Tony Amernick, a volunteer with the Meals on Wheels program in Marathon County, he says in his years delivering food, he's appreciated getting to know the recipients in his community. He says this program is really what rural Wisconsin is all about, helping one another. And so he encourages folks to give their time this season. From the southern end of the world's longest barn in Madison, I'm Stephanie Hoff.
What weather is in store for the Midwest today? Stay tuned as Ag Meteorologist Stu Muck gives you the latest forecast in just moments, right here on the Midwest Farm Report.
From Ashwaubenon to Alloway, this is 97.9 WGBW.
You're listening to the American Democracy Minute, keeping your government by and for the people. In the 2024 election, estimates show that more than 83 million Americans voted early in person or by mail. President Donald Trump said December 5th he wants to look at returning to same-day voting. Speaking at a Fox Nation award ceremony where Trump was honored as the network's Patriot of the Year, he said, quote, "We're going to do things that have really been needed for a long time, and we are going to look at elections. We want to have paper ballots, one-day voting, voter ID, and proof of citizenship," unquote. Early voting options have expanded to 46 states since 2000. Election data company TargetSmart estimates almost 83.7 million Americans voted early in person, universal mail ballot, or absentee ballot. Among that 83.7 million were 35.16 million Republican early voters. The Texas Tribune reports that in the state's most reliably red counties, 50.4% of votes were cast early. In Trump's home state of Florida, where voting by mail is popular among seniors, over 3 million voters voted by mail and over 5.6 million votes were cast early in person, according to Secretary of State figures. The U.S. Supreme Court, which has deferred to the power of states to regulate elections, is unlikely to embrace any federal mandate to curb state-implemented early voting. We have links to more at AmericanDemocracyMinute.org. I'm Brian Beal.
Uh-oh, Brad's buzzed.
Oh, yeah?
Yeah, he's starting with the woots. And now a speech.
I just want to say that friendship is about heart. Heart and brain. Who's with me?
Good thing is, he knows when he's buzzed.
And my brain is saying, when it's time to go home, somebody call me a ride.
Love that guy.
Me too.
Know your buzzed warning signs? Call for a ride when it's time to go home. Buzz driving is drunk driving. A message from NHTSA and the Ad Council.
You're listening to the Talk of Green Bay, WGBW. Jane Matinair and Greg Bach.
Coming up on the show, Jazz Gallery for the Arts in Milwaukee is having a fundraiser. We'll find out how you can help out, and we'll wrap it all up with This Shouldn't Be a Thing. I hope you can join us.
Matinair on air, weekday mornings at 10.
You're listening to the Talk of Green Bay, WGBW, home of Mino and the Mayor.
And we've never had a case in Wisconsin, but there's six states where they're starting. So there's a website where you can learn more about exactly where your milk comes from. And I'm not talking cows. I'm talking specifically what state, what processing facility. Did you know that Wisconsin is 55, Stu?
That number stuck in my head for some reason, yes.
Yeah, the website is whereismymilkfrom.com. And you can find, look at any of your dairy containers. There is a code near the top of the container or the lid. First part always is two numbers between 1 and 56. And then there's five digits, could have a dash, could be numbers, could be letters after that. Never colons. So look around your, and if you see 55, you can rest assured that that milk, dairy product per se, is from Wisconsin. I thought I'd give them a little peace of mind this morning.
Yeah, that works. A milk trucker I know always said milk isn't any good unless it's got 500 miles on it.
Well, let's hope it doesn't have to go that far anymore. But yeah, maybe going even farther. I wish this weather would go farther away and keep that mild stuff around, but things are changing today, huh?
Yeah, we're going to get colder. I mean, already staying colder than we were yesterday. We had some very warm temps. I see a high of 51 at Madison, 50 degrees at La Crosse. I know that Sheboygan hit 52 yesterday. Warm in the south, but the cool front zipped through, and an Alberta Clipper is off to our northwest. No big snow activity with this, but a little snow becoming a possibility late tonight, just into Wednesday. Maybe an inch in the north accumulating, much less than that elsewhere. The bigger factor will be strong west and then northwest winds helping to drop those temperatures. Falling temperatures tomorrow in the daytime, even late today in the north, and then getting and staying colder Wednesday night, Thursday. The winds will diminish as we head through Thursday and on toward Friday. And how about that? Temperatures will begin to moderate a bit. Friday and Saturday start pushing back up, but there could be a little light snow just to wrap things up on Friday, too. Not going to amount to much. I'll have forecast details right after this.
As a dairy farmer, you depend on your milk receiver pump. McFinn Technologies of Kenosha introduces the impressive Bopeller pump. It's quieter, there's lower maintenance, as the seals last much longer than your old milk receiver pump. It offers a more powerful cleaning cycle with higher velocities, and it doesn't degrade the quality of your milk. Ask your dealer for the Bopeller Milk Receiver Pump, patented by McFinn Technologies, an American company committed to providing a better product for the dairy industry.
Attention farmers and ranchers, the Can-Am Ag and Business Program wants to reward hardworking folks like you. Head to your local Can-Am dealer to find out how you can get extra coverage on top of a rebate of up to $1,500 on select Can-Am Defender and Outlander models. If you've had your eyes set on a Can-Am workhorse, now is the time to get your own. Visit your local Can-Am dealer to add a true game changer to your roster. Certain conditions apply. See dealer for details.
All righty, Stu, let's have those forecast details.
Okay, well, cloudy skies today. Is still fairly mild for this time of the year. We have to look at it that way. Low 30s in the south, upper 20s the further you head north, and the northwest wind about 5 to 10. There could be some snow late today in the far northwest part of the state. Otherwise, snow developing in the late night hours. Mostly cloudy. We drop into the teens or very low 20s at best. The west winds at 5 to 10. Mostly cloudy tomorrow. Snow, not going to amount to much. Like I said, an inch in the north, much less elsewhere. But temperatures that may still make their way up toward the mid-20s will drop off later in the day back to the low teens. The northwest winds 10 to 20, gusting to 30. Still breezy, getting colder Wednesday night. By Thursday, back to some sunshine. Low teens and maybe single digits yet in the far north, with the west winds about 5 to 15. And it just stays cold Thursday night, Pam, and maybe a little snow late Friday night. But the temperatures mild back into the 30s for the weekend.
All right, good deal. We'll catch up with you tomorrow. Thanks, Stu. Stu Mocker, ag meteorologist, with the weather details you're looking for. If you missed that conversation about finding out exactly where your milk originated, you can text the word milk to me at 877-301-FARM, and I'll help you out.
You're listening to the Talk of Green Bay, WGBW, home for the Maggie Dawn Show.
It's the center of the Kringle-making world. Racine County wears the crown, and bakers like those at O&H create more than 10,000 of the delicate oval-shaped pastry every single day.
Just a great pastry. One that's hard to make, though, hard to replicate.
Peter Olison is a third-generation owner. O&H is celebrating its 75th year, but do you know if Wisconsin considers the Kringle our official pastry? The answer coming up.
The 500-square-foot corner bakery to offering our products by mail.
Baker Mike Massanellis says their Kringle is shipped near and far. The tradition began when the Danes came to Racine in the late 1800s. And it is that past and present which created our official state pastry, the Kringle, in 2013. And it's a you can't have just one slice of Wisconsin. I'm Terry Barr for the Civic Media Radio Network.
Hey there, this is Carrie Joy with today's Work Money Minute and a little bit of tough love about investing in collectibles. I'm going to say this as nicely as I can. Collectibles are just not good investments. Comic books, Beanie Babies, World War II memorabilia, American Girl doll stuff, they just don't math out as investments. Now, collecting as a hobby that brings you joy is perfectly fine if you can afford it. Just don't confuse the fun of the hunt with the potential for profits. And importantly, they are illiquid, meaning you can't turn it into cash in a pinch like you can with a real security like a stock. Now, I'm not saying you got to stop collecting whatever you enjoy. Just make sure you're paying down your high-interest debt like credit cards and saving for retirement. For more tips on saving more and spending less, search up Work Money Media on YouTube. Till next time, this is Carrie Joy saying take good care.
Nightlight with Pete Schwalbe.
Here's why I'm glad I don't work in an office. My wife is always talking about, she's a teacher. They put donuts in the teacher's lounge. There's sweets. There's snacks. It wasn't that way here today, but Nikki keeps those Biscoff cookies out there. I probably ate 12 of those today. The phrase "you are what you eat" is very true, because I was sitting in the office earlier prepping the show and I felt kind of doughy and I'm like, I feel like a Biscoff cookie.
Nightlight with Pete Schwalbe. Weeknights from 6 till 8 on your local Civic Media radio station and on the Civic Media app.
You're listening to the Talk of Green Bay, WGBW, home for the Todd Allball Show.
ABC News, I'm Sherry Preston. 26-year-old Luigi Mangione now charged with second-degree murder in the killing of UnitedHealthcare CEO Brian Thompson in Manhattan last week. Mangione was arrested at a McDonald's in Altoona, Pennsylvania on Monday. ABC's Josh Eininger, who's there, says police found
three sloppily written, handwritten pages in his backpack that law enforcement found. They referred specifically to UnitedHealthcare and spoke about his disdain for the healthcare industry, including these specific quotes, quoting now, "These parasites had it coming."
Syria's prime minister says most cabinet members are back at work following the overthrow of President Bashar Assad's government. People have been gathering at the gates of the notorious Sadnaya prison in Damascus looking for loved ones. Israeli Prime Minister Benjamin Netanyahu on the stand in his long-running corruption trial in Tel Aviv. He's also facing an international arrest warrant for war crimes as the fighting in Gaza continues. This is ABC News.
On your entertainment beat, I'm Pete Schwabba. If you're a moviegoer who likes Thanksgiving leftovers, you probably found something to enjoy at the movies this past weekend. Only one new release was able to crack the top five, and only three flicks cracked the top 10. In first place, to no one's surprise, was Moana 2, which pulled in another $52 million in its second weekend in theaters. Coming in second place was Wicked, with a $34 million haul and $320 million take worldwide. And in third place is Gladiator 2, with $12.5 million. Indian action mystery thriller Pushpa 2, The Rule, brought in almost $10 million on just 1,200 screens to grab fourth place. Red One took fifth place. A24's latest, Y2K, pulled in a disappointing $2 million in its first weekend release, good for eighth place. A re-release of Christopher Nolan's Interstellar took sixth place with $4.5 million on only 165 screens nationwide. There should be some big box office activity this coming week with the release of a new Lord of the Rings film. For more showbiz fun, tune in to Nightlight with me, Pete Schwabba, weeknights from 6 to 8 p.m. on the Civic Media Radio Network.
Badgers basketball tonight. Hi, I'm Mike Clemens with sports. The Wisconsin Badgers men's basketball team is on the road taking on Illinois. The Badgers dropped in the rankings from 11th to 20th after back-to-back losses to Michigan and Marquette. NBA, it's the Bucks and the Magic in Milwaukee for another NBA Cup game. Damian Lillard only scored 11 points in Sunday's win over the Brooklyn Nets. That snapped a six-game streak of 25 points or more per game for Dame. Doc Rivers.
He struggled a little bit early, you know, but I thought that down the stretch, he was clutch and got it going, made right plays. He's not going to have 40 every night. He's not even going to be great every night. No one is.
NFL, the Packers reviewed the tape of their game against the Lions.
We kind of went through the game recap today and just playing consistent football. I think there was a lot of opportunities in that game where we had advantages that we didn't capitalize on. And I think it always comes back to just doing the little things the right way.
That's Packers head coach Matt LaFleur with sports. I'm Mike Clemens.
Pete Schwabba.
On the next Nightlight, I welcome wrestling announcer and Civic Media's own Rich LaCasio, Swedish jazz queen Gunhild Carling, and Northeast Wisconsin author Brett Kissinger. Let's light it up like it's a school night.
Nightlight with Pete Schwabba. Weeknights from 6 till 8. Local radio for you and your community. It's Civic Media's mission with stations across Wisconsin. Find your favorites at civicmedia.us.
Mostly cloudy today, our high right around 32 this afternoon. Tonight, light snow after midnight, low of 22. Tomorrow, some light snow, blowing snow, becoming windy in the afternoon with falling temperatures. We'll be in the teens by late Wednesday afternoon. I'm meteorologist Sean Cable. Outside now, it's 33.
Hey, it's John Mino.
And Jim Schmidt from Mino and the Mayor.
Want to stay in the loop with all things Northeast Wisconsin? Sign up for the WGBW weekly newsletter.
Get the latest local stories, updates on the weather, and a special feature from our Mino and the Mayor podcast.
It's your one-stop shop for real news and great conversations in Northeast Wisconsin.
Log on to WGBW.FM today and get signed up.
Real news, great conversations. Sign up today at WGBW.FM/newsletter.
Are you prepared for an emergency or disaster? Because it's not a matter of if, but when. Don't find yourself saying,
when the storm rolls in, my time to find a pet-friendly evacuation center will have run out.
The scorching heat wave will leave me powerless to cool my insulin.
I'll face a hurricane without meds. Now that's a tough pill to swallow.
Let's prepare so we all have a better story to tell. Get started at ready.gov/olderadults. Brought to you by FEMA and the Ad Council.
Matt Nair on air. This shouldn't be a thing.
Michigan man leads lawnmower chase. I'll stop, says the suspect. Instead, he reaches under the seat and pulls out a gun.
Shoots himself in the hand.
The deputy has his taser trained on him, and yes, he tased him.
I'm not advocating for crime, but boost something that goes faster than cop on foot.
Matt Nair on air. Weekdays 10 till noon on your local Civic Media radio station and on the app. The Todd Allbus Show.
Pat Kreitlow, all your time in the media, television, radio, what have you, what was one or two of the oddest things that people were complaining about?
As a TV anchor, your hair.
You have some of the finest hair around. How could anybody criticize your hair?
Oh, well, because a consultant forced me to change it.
Were there focus groups?
I'm not aware of any focus groups other than the audience, which universally hated it. It was a bowl haircut.
The Todd Allbus Show. Weekdays, noon till 2, on your local Civic Media radio station and on the app.
Fear you may be missing out? We're always streaming on TuneIn and the Civic Media app. Enjoy listening live or catch up by finding the podcast at civicmedia.us or wherever you enjoy listening to your podcasts. You are listening to your local Civic Media radio station on air. Thank you. Did you know we are always streaming on TuneIn and the Civic Media app too? And if you miss a show or game, find it wherever you get your podcasts or on our website, civicmedia.us.
Out here in the middle of these acres, it can feel like you're the only person on earth. That's how it feels when you're struggling with your mental health. But you don't have to feel alone. Find more information at loveyourmindtoday.org. Brought to you by the Huntsman Mental Health Institute and the Ad Council.
Your news, conversations, and a whole lot of fun. It's all on your local Civic Media radio station or the Civic Media app.
It's easy to listen to your favorite local radio station anytime. Download the Civic Media app from the Apple or Google Play Store, then listen live or whenever you want from anywhere for free.
From De Pere to Suamico, 97.9 WGBW.
Athletic as well,
A lot of ground to cover on a Tuesday morning. John Heinberg from West Bend Total Farm Marketing is going to be giving us a preview on what he's expecting from the big World Ag Supply Demand Report today. It is kind of the end of the year surprise that a lot of farmers can look forward to. Maybe you'll get a chance to sell some of the corn or beans you're storing now. Maybe you'll get a chance to put a floor under what you're growing for next year. Welcome back, everybody. It's the fabulous Farm Bay Pam Yonke. This is the Midwest Farm Report. Along with John, we're also going to bring you more details from the 105th Annual Business Meeting of the Wisconsin Farm Bureau Federation that wrapped up yesterday. But first, it is the 10th day of December. What can I tell you? Let's see. On this day back in 1935, Janesville started to handle a flare-up of scarlet fever, quarantined 25 of their residents. That was on this day in 1935. On this day in 1967, Otis Redding died in a plane crash. His plane crashed into Lake Monona in Madison, killed him and his four band members that were touring with him, the Bar Kays. Otis Redding was inducted into the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame in 1989, died on this date, crashed into Lake Monona in Madison, 1967. On this day in 1901, the first Nobel Prize was awarded. 5 years after the death of Swedish chemist and inventor Alfred Nobel, his first Nobel Prize awarded on this day, 1901. Happy birthdays go out to actor Kenneth Branagh, 64. Chef Bobby Flay is 60 years young. And actress Raven Simone, she is 39. And now you know. Changing it up a little bit this week, our friends from the Steffes Group joining us on a Tuesday. Remember that website, Steffes Group, the Steffes Group. And you can give them a call if you're thinking about an auction, have a question about an auction, anything having to do with the auction business, 800-726-8609. That's 800-726-8609. Ashley Hune from the Steffes Group along with us. Part of the reason why we wanted to bump up our conversation this week, Ashley, today you got a pretty nice little follow-up sale happening in southeast Wisconsin. We had talked about it earlier, a dispersal sale on some beautiful jerseys, well-regarded across the United States. That was fantastic. And now this is kind of the cleanup, shall we say, with the equipment, right?
Yeah, absolutely. You know, we sent jerseys all over this country, and they have that nice line, but they also have a premium line of smaller yet very well taken care of equipment, you know, especially their hand tractors, older combine, but still, you know, very, very nice. And then all the hay tools go with it.
Beautiful. Now, is this all online, or are you going to try to get people huddling together in a live situation? Tell me what this one's going to entail.
Nope, this one's going to be just online only. Closes at 1 p.m. Damn. And that's when the bidding starts ending. And of course, I'd expect it to go on extension a little bit like everything else has been lately. But
yeah,
if you're looking for a nice pull-type New Holland chopper with some nice boxes, this would be the sale to take a look at.
And again, folks, like, it's right in your backyard, so as far as trying to get that equipment to where you need it, much less stressful than if it's a couple states away. Let's talk a little bit about how the numbers have been trending with people that are engaged in this auction process, Ashley. Every week lately when I talk to Ashley, he sounds more tired than the week before. You guys are just pounding out the numbers, aren't you?
Yeah, I mean, this is as busy as it gets at any point in my career here at Steffes. But, you know, we're doing up to 10, 12, 15 auctions a day. Most of them are online only. Even earlier this morning, that Kevin Tate sale in Barrie, Minnesota, is something to look at. We did a open house last week. They had a live band. He's got a show shop that everything was inside. They served brisket to 300 people.
Oh.
I'm just, some of these retirements are opportunities you'll never see anywhere else.
Oh, man. Well, and you know, that showmanship, that celebration also speaks to what these folks are, you know, conveying. We had a good career. We're living a good life. Thank you for being around us. You know, that's kind of the way it rolls sometimes in a good auction.
Yeah, it really is. And I mean, that's a perfect recipe for good prices too, right?
Yes.
You know, and that's what's neat about our platform. So the seller's information is on there. You get to talk to the seller, engage with them, understand how they cared for it and know what it's all about before you make that buying decision.
Yeah, they make it easy on you folks, the Steffes Group. Ashley Hewen along with us. Don't forget, that website has got all kinds of information and connections if you want to find out more about upcoming auctions or if you want to get connected with the owner of a particular piece of equipment, livestock, whatever it may be. The Steffes Group does not get in the way. Steffesgroup.com. That's STEFFES Group.com, or call them if you want to talk to them. 800-726-8609. That's 800-726-8609. Our friend Ashley Hewen along with us from the Steffes Group.
Attention farmers and ranchers. The Can-Am Ag and Business Program wants to reward hardworking folks like you. Head to your local Can-Am dealer to find out how you can get extra coverage on top of a rebate of up to $1,500 on select Can-Am Defender and Outlander models. If you've had your eyes set on a Can-Am workhorse, now's the time to get your own. Visit your local Can-Am dealer to add a true game changer to your roster. Certain conditions apply. See dealer for details.
Helena, Agri reps are busy right now pulling a lot of information from combines and the harvest of 2024. Steve Bailey is one of those that's going over the data. He is the branch manager in Monroe. And Steve, you tell me that your team is ready to partner with farmers that are looking at those numbers and thinking about their options for 2025.
I got a great team in my plant here, and you know, give them a shot, talk to them, whether it's changing your population and the seed, the variety that you have out there, hybrid. There are certain varieties and hybrids that respond differently to side dress UAN or growth stimulants, stuff like that. Whoever you're buying your seed from, it doesn't just end there. You need to really understand what makes that tick. No different than growing cattle. Some are great milkers, and some are just average milkers but produce good calves. So understanding that out in the field is a big deal.
Agreed. Steve Bailey, branch manager in Monroe for Helena Agri. Give him a shot at helenaagri.com.
Can you predict the future? I can't. That's why when I'm planting soybeans, I treat with Heads Up seed treatment. With more than 15 years of research, Heads Up offers proven protection against both white mold and sudden death syndrome. So no matter what the year throws at you, you've already taken that first step to be prepared. Don't let your beans suffer from disease when they're just starting to look their best. Tell your seed dealer you need Heads Up seed treatment. Learn more at headsupst.com.
So more than 200 members of the Wisconsin Farm Bureau Federation stuck around the Kalahari Resort in Wisconsin Dells to finish up the 105th annual business meeting. They re-elected Brad Olson from Polk County as their president, where he is a crop farmer near Frederick. Joe Bragger from Independence in Buffalo County was re-elected as vice president of the Wisconsin Farm Bureau Federation. And Brian Preter from Wauwega in Waupaca County was elected president of Rural Mutual Insurance. Robert Nye from Viroqua in Vernon County was elected first vice president of the Rural Mutual Insurance Company Board. There were other items that were taken taken care of as well. More than 30 different business items. That's according to Jason Mugnanini, who is the Executive Director of Government Affairs for the Wisconsin Farm Bureau Federation.
Yeah, I think it went really smoothly today. I think the delegates from all across the state were well prepped and knew what they needed to talk about today. And I think some really great policies on transparency in the dairy industry, tractor safety, and really just dealing with some of the challenges that we have on farm policy here in the state of Wisconsin. I thought it was a good discussion on a lot of different topics, and I think that there's some really great ideas to take into the state capitol and then, again, bring to American Farm Bureau next month when we go to their annual.
Jason Mugnanini, Executive Director of Government Affairs for the Wisconsin Farm Bureau Federation. Now, among the items that were passed, and again, remember, there were 30 different business items transacted. They supported the Wisconsin Youth Apprenticeship Program. They also supported the use of biofuel blended fuels year round. They opposed efforts to allow unrestricted foreign ownership of Wisconsin farmland. Take a look at all the details from the wrap-up of the business session at MidwestFarmReport.com. Markets and overnight electronic trade ahead of today's World Ag Supply Demand Report. A little soft right now. March corn's down a penny, 441. December new crop down a half at 439. January soybeans are up a penny at 991. November new crop basically unchanged at 1005. March wheat's down four at 555. July new crop down three, 570. Yesterday, the barrel cheese stood still at 169. 40-pound block cheese was up three at 173, while AA butter dropped a penny and a half to 253 a pound. This morning, the January Class 3 milk that goes into cheese down four, 1933 a hundredweight. John Heinberg, market advisor with Total Farm Marketing, joining us next.
Can't get enough farm news? The stories you hear and more 24/7 at MidwestFarmReport.com. Stay tuned as we'll be right back.
You're listening to the Talk of Green Bay, WGBW, home for Matt and Aaron Air.
Nightlight with Pete Schwabba.
Aaron Zommers, so you watched a film called Hot Frosty.
The main character puts a scarf that she does not know is enchanted around this snowman, and he comes to life, and he starts streaking through the town.
Is there any sex in this movie, Aaron?
There is not.
I think they're missing a perfect thing to go with a fetish snowman thing here.
Gotta bet that audience is huge. What's your kink?
Snowman. Nightlight with Pete Schwabba. Weeknights from 6 till 8 on your local Civic Media radio station and on the Civic Media app.
Ever tried balancing a dozen eggs in one hand while hopping on one foot? Or maybe juggling cats while riding the unicycle? Sounds ridiculous, right? But guess what? That's exactly what texting while driving is like. Your human brain only has the capacity to focus on one thing at a time. So when you're behind the wheel, give driving your undivided attention.
Don't drive distracted. A message brought to you by the National Highway Traffic Safety Administration, Project Yellow Light, and the Ad Council.
The Maggie Dawn Show.
We know what happened the last time Trump applied this ham-fisted tariff policy. He had to write a $12 billion check to farmers because he crushed so many of our agricultural exports and drove up the cost of single-family homes because the cost of lumber from places like Canada went way the frick up. Everything got more expensive.
The Maggie Dawn Show. Weekdays from 2 till 4 on your local Civic Media radio station and on the Civic Media app.
You are never far away from your favorite radio station. We're always streaming on TuneIn and the Civic Media app. And if you missed your favorite show or game, listen to a podcast of it anytime on the app or our website, civicmedia.us.
That first time seeing my son, I feel like my life did a 180. He really a definition of like why he loves somebody.
Through all of fatherhood's firsts, never stop being a dad. Visit fatherhood.gov to hear more. Brought to you by the U.S. Department of Health and Human Services and the Ad Council.
The Talk of Green Bay, WGBW. Todd Albaugh.
Hey, everybody. Join us next time. Luke Mathers is in with Tuesday Tangents and more of our grown-up gift list text to win contest. It's statewide. Join us.
The Todd Albaugh Show. Weekdays noon till 2. From Hobart to Bay Settlement, 97.9 WGBW.
Oak to 877-301-3262. 1-800-636-7676, and I'll help you out there. Helping us out on a Tuesday morning, our friend John Heinberg, Market Advisor, Total Farm Marketing out of West Bend. A big World Ag Supply Demand Report coming out this afternoon. But you'd rather start with the newsmaker this morning, something we may already have in our hand, coffee. What's going on?
Yeah, coffee prices on the overnight, the Arabica coffee price, obviously the good stuff of the two beans that's out there, has broken to new all-time highs last night during the overnight session. And there's a couple big reasons why. Realistically, about 80% of the coffee supply in the world, prices have jumped about 80% this year in terms of in value. And we're looking at the two major producers, which is Brazil and Vietnam, have been dealing with a lot of weather issues. Obviously, Brazil was a heavy dry early at the coffee plant. It takes time to produce that bean. You know, those supplies are cut there. We're dealing with a heavy wetness in the Vietnam area, so that's causing some issues there. Plus, just add to it, the popularity of coffee continues to grow in terms of a drink that's being enjoyed by a lot of people. So that might be something we have to see down the road as future prices took out highs that go all the way back to the Carter administration and set new marks on the overnight this morning for value.
And it doesn't look like it's turning south or declining right now.
You know, again, sometimes in these markets like that, we saw this with the cocoa market and things really just going crazy. There's not a lot of players in it, so prices really can take off. And there's just not people to step in front of it. But you'll usually see spike swings. In other words, this thing will run to new highs. The next thing, you know, boom, it'll drop quick percentage points, you know, as profits are taken. Overall trend that we're going to see, though, is still probably going to be see impact on prices to us as the consumer as we go down the road, you know, as they have to manage these extra costs because of the lack of supply that's out there.
I did not realize that there were only two major players.
You know, again, there's other countries that produce it, but again, the largest portion of that Arabica bean comes from those two countries. And, you know, and again, when you get such a tight market in terms of supply or where it's produced, and obviously prices can become extremely volatile if one, or in this case, both of them are dealing with weather issues.
Yep. John Heinberg, Market Advisor with Total Farm Marketing out of West Bend, joining us live here on the Midwest Farm Report. I remind you of their website, totalfarmmarketing.com. Or their 800 number, 800-334-9779, 800-334-9779. All right, now that we've addressed the coffee situation as it's changing, let's talk about this World Ag Supply Demand Report this afternoon. Remind us again, John, exactly what we're looking for out of this one.
Well, usually a December report's got a little less fire to it than most of the other reports. It's a placeholder for getting ready for the big January report. We get those final yield estimates and crop production numbers for the marketing year. But again, there's still some things that we're watching here. And mainly it's going to be in the corn market, I would say, probably for today. We've continued to see very good corn demand. Sales are strong. Shipments 32% over last year with the export inspections numbers yesterday. You know, so we're going to see if the USDA will actually make some demand adjustments there. Now, we are expecting 50, 70 million bushels maybe getting moved off that carryout pile, shifted over into either ethanol grind and export demand for corn. So that'll be, if that comes true, that'll be the sixth consecutive month we've seen the actual supply side of it, the carryout side, come down. Even though it's been big moves, but it's been a trend. So we'll see. You're expecting to see the carryover drop about, you know, 40 million bushels, 50 million bushels today. The big number in my mind is, do we get under 1.9 billion bushels of carryover? Do we stay just above it? The market's anticipating just slightly above it, so we'll have to see how that plays out. When you start getting into that 1.8s, 1.7s, and then we start seeing some maybe more price move, you know, we'll have to see how that, again, what the USDA puts together. Soybean side, don't expect a lot of adjustments today. There's just too much time. We got some chatter out there that maybe we got some beans getting canceled. We'll have to see if those rumors come true. They started hitting the market a little bit yesterday, and that's what kind of brought us off our high, our morning strength. But so we expect the USDA to probably hold fairly tight. Wheat reports side of the report, we'll probably see nothing in terms of changes from the last report. Just always kind of watching what they say about some of those overseas numbers, mentioning that Russian crop. It's early, but I don't know if there'll be any changes made there because of some pretty good poor conditions in that Russian winter wheat crop here going into their dormant season.
Now, let's talk about transportation for a second, John. It's one thing to sell it. It's another thing to make sure that it gets to destination. With everything that's been developing globally as far as conflicts, we've seen any slowdown as far as transportation arteries.
Nothing at this time frame, at least that is a major concern to the market. You know, you watch the geopolitical side of things. Obviously, we got some events in Syria that are concerning, and, you know, what's happening there. Does that come into play in terms of the Black Sea and you know, the movement of grains through that area? So that's something we'll have to keep an eye on. But right now, at least things are kind of flowing. Seems like Panama Canal is working fine. The Mississippi River is working fine, at least in terms of water levels compared to where we were a handful of months ago. So at least at this moment, things are moving fairly nicely, but obviously those geopolitical events, especially this time of year, can be very shocking to the market as trade gets a little bit thinner and things like the market will be watching them very, very closely.
So what would cause a cancellation then at this stage in the game? Are they already starting to switch to South America?
The Chinese have been heavily buying the South American bean crop for that spring window. And right now we're looking at prices probably about 50 to 60 cents a bushel cheaper than U.S. beans. When we talk about that March, April, May time window, when they start bringing some of that harvest in. So some of these late beans that they've been buying here, if they know they can get by, if crush margins aren't where they need to, they'll let those sales go and look, you know, hold on and wait for those South American beans to get here. Right now, there is not a weather story at all in terms of those Brazil beans or even the Argentina crop that's continuing to get put in the ground going into the harvest window as we get closer to the spring.
All right, my friend, I appreciate it. John Heinberg joining us live. Have a great week, John.
Sounds good. Have a great week.
John Heinberg, again, from TotalFarmMarketing.com. Their 800 number, 800-334-9779. World Ag Supply Demand Report on the way today. Catch up with you tomorrow morning, same time, same channel.
This is the Midwest Farm Report with Pam Youngke.
You're listening to the Talk of Green Bay, WGBW, home of Mino and the Mayor.
The possibility of lung cancer can be pretty scary, especially if you're one of approximately 8 million current or former smokers at high risk. That's why SaveByTheScan.org wants you to know that now there's a breakthrough low-dose CT scan that can detect lung cancer early, and it only takes 60 seconds. You stop smoking, now start screening. For an easy quiz to see if you're eligible, visit SaveByTheScan.org. It could save your life. SaveByTheScan.org is brought to you by the American Lung Association's Lung Force Initiative and the Ad Council.
Time is running short for this Congress to pass a new farm bill. Stay tuned for Farm to Fork. Hurricanes Helene and Milton happened almost back to back, devastating a huge swath of the southeastern United States. Many farms and farming communities were affected. The American Red Cross and other organizations are accepting donations for relief efforts in those stricken communities. They can use your support. There's a link on the homepage at NorthShoreProductions.com if you'd like to help.
Hey there, it's Mike Rowe, and if you're out there getting dirty, do me a favor and remember to call or click 811 before you dig. And when I say dig, I refer to any activity requiring boring, tilling, drilling, probing, reaming, plowing, drudging, or even scoping. Anything that causes you to roll up your sleeves a little and dig in requires you to first connect with 811 so that you can avoid all those buried pipes, wires, and cables underground. To sum up, call or click 811 before you dig and visit safeexcavator.com for more information.
With less than a month to go before the current Congress adjourns, the fate of the farm program remains in limbo. And since we're in lame duck mode and with a shift in the balance of power in the Senate, my guess is any action there will be delayed. That's apparently what North Dakota farmer Josh Gackle is thinking as well. He's the president of the American Soybean Association.
There is time for them to do a full farm bill. Chairman Thompson has said that's still his number one priority, is to get a full farm bill done. But you're going to hear more and more talk about another extension.
Not the best option, according to Gackle.
The thing that we struggle with when we get these one-year extensions, which is important, we need the programs to continue, but you're extending a bill that's already outdated.
The delays are also a concern for Kansas farmer Amy Franz, chairwoman of the National Sorghum Producers.
If
for national sorghum producers, we're saying, hey, let's get something done in this 2024. Disaster assistance would be great. And that gets actual money in our farmers' pockets when they need it most. Many of them are going in to talk to their bankers in renewal season. And so we want to equip them to be able to say, hey, I've got a plan and let me keep farming for another year.
That's Farm to Fork. I'm Daryl Anderson.
On Tuesday's show, Heather Heil from the Green Bay Children's Museum joins us with details on a different kind of event to raise money for police canine units in the area.
And we'll tell you more about the Pour Pints for the Purpose event to help raise money and awareness for the Alzheimer's Association. Join us.
The Dom Salvia Show.
Harvey K., Professor Emeritus of Democracy. We're talking about the Act 10 overturned by a Dane County judge.
I think it's important for everyone to know that this was the state that in 1959 first granted public employees the right to organize and bargain collectively. We have a lot to take back. You know, I used to say take back America, but I say take back Wisconsin.
The Dom Salvia Show. Weekdays from 4 till 6 on the Civic Media Radio Network and on the Civic Media app.
From the lakeshore to Lake Winnebago.
Door to Fond du Lac counties.
Northeast Wisconsin is special for many different reasons. I'm Lisa Hale.
And I'm Terry Barr. Family and fun.
Safe communities and friends. We're featuring all of it as part of New Wisco Weekend, a news magazine show just for you, and highlighting what makes the Fox Valley and Green Bay area a great place to live.
Join us.
New Wisco Weekend, Saturday mornings at 8, Sundays at 11 on WGBW and WISS and the Civic Media app.
Fear you may be missing out? We're always streaming on TuneIn and the Civic Media app. Enjoy listening live or catch up by finding the podcast at civicmedia.us or wherever you enjoy listening to your podcasts.
This is 97.9 WGBW Denmark, Green Bay's real news and great conversation, a Civic Media radio station.
ABC News, I'm Sherry Preston. Murder charges now filed against 26-year-old Luigi Mangione, the suspect in last week's killing of United Healthcare CEO Brian Thompson in New York. He was picked up in Pennsylvania. ABC's Aaron Katursky is at the McDonald's where he was spotted.
Investigators from the NYPD and the Manhattan District Attorney's Office are here in Altoona. They're just starting to go through some of the evidence collected here and through his social media, where they see a post about an X-ray of a spine and other posts indicating he read books about back injuries.
Mangione was the valedictorian of his private high school in Baltimore, where he graduated in 2016. He went on to get his bachelor's and master's degrees in computer science from Penn. Celebrations continue in Syria after the 50-year rule of President Bashar Assad was brought down over the weekend. A wildfire breaking out in Malibu, California. It's spreading rapidly on hillsides near Pepperdine University. The winds right now gusting up to 65 miles an hour. This is ABC News.